MacReady's Maelstrom, a play for radio by Roger Pine.
When?
Just after I came off watch.
And he said that?
Yeah.
What had you done? What had you done, lad? You know, I mean, had you got on the wrong side of him somehow? What had you done?
Oh, nothing. I was just passing, like, you know, in the alleyway by the galley. He sort of bumped into me, like, as he come out.
And he said that?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what did you say?
Oh, well, you know, nothing much, really. You know what he's like.
Well, you mean you just took it from him?
Well, what else could I do? He is the chief steward, isn't he?
What the hell's he got to do with him?
Well, what would you have said?
That's got nothing to do with it, lad. It's yous we're talking about.
No, no, come on, MacReady. What would you have said?
Look, lad, you've done, what, 3 trips, 4 trips?
About that.
Well, there you are, then.
Well, there I am. What then?
There you are, then. That's the difference, see?
I don't get you.
Oh, my God, look. If it was me, he wouldn't have said it in the first place. He would have known better.
You are?
He thought he could get away with it with you. Besides, I haven't got long hair.
No, notice that.
What I mean is this. Is that with me, he would have known he would exceed his rights.
But I thought you didn't like long hair either.
That's got nothing to do with it, lad. The point is that you're a seaman. If the mate says your hair's too long, then there might, and I emphasize there might, be something in it. But if the chief steward says it's too long, then you go away and grow it. Do you get me?
Yeah, I think so. But it only causes trouble, doesn't it?
Oh, for crying out loud. I thought you lot were going to change the world.
What, me?
Yes, you. You're the young generation, aren't you? You're always going on about everybody over 30 being past it. You don't like being told what to do and all that.
Well, I don't.
Well, then.
But I mean, I don't want a dirty discharge either, do I? I'm only just starting.
Then start as you mean to go on. Now, look, lad. You're a scout, aren't you?
That's what my dad told me.
So, you know, what's what? I mean, generally speaking.
Well, I've been around a bit, yeah.
Of course you have, son. And if you want to keep on going around the right way, if you know what I mean, get it firmly fixed in your head. There's them and there's us, see? And they're just hanging around all the time, waiting to put the boot in, waiting to stamp on the back of your neck. And he's one of them. He's an officer. He's different, see? But, and it's a big but, these days, there's ways. There's ways, lad.
Ways of what?
Ways of putting them in their place.
Where are you?
Now, this chief steward, he said to you, a seaman, that you were a filthy little man, that your hair was too long for a duty, let alone a bloke, and that you'd better get it cut before he saw you again. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less.
Well, then, now, this is what we do. We go to the old man, and we tell him that the chief steward has accused the deckhand of being unclean in his person, that he has personally insulted him, and that he has implied that this seaman is a homosexual.
Hey.
All of which charges are, needless to say, totally unfounded, okay?
But he didn't say anything like that.
Yes, he did, lad. He didn't know he did, but he most certainly did, okay?
Okay.
So, now, we've got him on interfering in another department's discipline, which the mate won't like, and we'll have to do something about. We've shown him up as causing unrest among the crew, which will give the old man heart failure. And apart from anything else, we've stirred things up a bit.
But he won't do anything about it.
Not so as we notice, lad. But the chief steward will. And that's the point, see. And as far as we're concerned, they're the ruling classes, and you know what we've got to do with them, don't you?
Oh, now, come on, don't start that stuff, MacReady. I'm not interested in politics. Besides, I'm a Catholic.
Aren't we all, lads, aren't we all? But what's that got to do with it? I'm here to make sure that they don't have an easy life. And that's what the wife says it myself. I bloody does.
Oh, my God. Look, Mike, drop it, will you? It was nothing. Oh, just having a bit of a whinge, you know, for something to say. That's all. I don't want no trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry, lad. I really am, but, you know, you must have forgot my position with the union, mustn't you?
Oh, come on.
I'd like to let it go, son, but I'm afraid it's out of your hands now. You see, now that you've told me, it's a matter of principle.
Principle? Him? He doesn't know what the word means.
Oh, yes, he does, when he wants to. Anyway, that's what he said.
What? John or the old man?
Oh, the old man, of course. He'd get short shrift from John with a fiddling complaint like that, and he knows it.
I don't know how he gets away with it. I mean, once or twice, perhaps, but not all the time. Sometimes I wonder who's running this ship.
MacReady is, didn't you know? The old man's scared stiff of him.
Mr. Brecken.
Mr. Cave, second officer.
Sir. Shut up.
Yes, sir. But why, sir? I think...
No one wants to know what you think, lad. You occupy the very tenuous position of uncertified fourth officer in this vessel, do you know?
I do.
Which means you're officially still an apprentice,
sir.
So what makes you think you know more than the captain when it comes to handling bloody-minded deckhands?
I don't. At least... Anyway, that's not what I said. He can handle them so they don't cause any trouble for him with the union or the company, but that's not
really
handling.
Well, that's enough from you for the moment. What are you doing here anyway? I thought you were supposed to be on watch.
I am. At least I wasn't until 5 minutes ago, and I shall be again in another 5 minutes.
What's going on?
Well, the captain came up, said he wanted a word with Mr. Backhouse in private, and would I please leave the bridge for 10 minutes?
Very peculiar. Couldn't he just have sent you onto the other wing or into the chart room?
Yes, I suppose he could. But he didn't. He said, leave the bridge. So the bridge, I left.
Has he logged it?
Well, not yet, but I'll make sure John does when we hand over officially. Don't you worry, third.
I just hope we don't run into anything in the meantime. Officer of the watch was absent from the bridge at the time, sir. He's only a young lad, means well.
Oh,
but
Belsa, will you? As our revered second officer so forcibly pointed out, I'm really nothing more than an apprentice. Mm. I ain't got no ticket. So unlike you two elderly gentlemen, I cannot therefore be held responsible. I have the close and paternal supervision of John Backhouse, chief mate himself. Whenever duty demands, I shall come within the cable length of the wheelhouse. However, if you, Mr. Park, would rest more easily in your button boots, I shall, without further ado or delay, ensure that control of the motor vessel Caramoo is grasped firmly once more in my own eager and capable hands. That is, I think, what used to be known as a pretty speech.
Oh, is that what it was?
Anyway, what it all amounts to is that John's up there, the captain's up there, it's a flat calm, and there's not a blip on the screen. It'll be all right.
John's up there, it'll be all right. You thank your lucky stars that you haven't got his job, young Peter.
And we don't make it any easier for him talking about the captain as though he's a half-wit when there are stewards hanging about. See what I mean, Peter?
Yes. Yes, I do. I'm sorry, second.
Okay, let's leave it there, then. Now, hadn't you better...
Sir...
Yes, McEwen, what is it?
Captain's compliments, sir. Would Mr. Brecken please return to the bridge immediately, sir?
There you are, Forth. Off you go.
Right here. Thank you, McEwen.
Sir.
See you chaps later.
Oh, McEwen.
Yes, sir.
Some more coffee, would you? This lot's gone cold. Oh. Better make it a fresh pot.
Yes, sir. Straight away, sir.
Bit hard on him, weren't you, Frank?
Brecken, you mean? Well, he's got to learn, hasn't he? He's a good enough lad, I suppose, but he doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. That's his trouble. Bit la-dee-da, too, for my liking.
Well, he can't help that, can he? Father's RN, you see. Broke his heart when young Peter didn't want to go to Dartmouth. Anyway, apart from all that, he's right, isn't he?
About MacLeady, you mean?
Yeah. The old man is scared of him, isn't he?
Don't know about scared, exactly. He certainly hates his guts, and he lets it show. That's the trouble. God help MacLeady if the old man ever has a proper chance to get at him.
Yeah, but in the meantime, MacLeady gets away with murder, doesn't he? If it wasn't for John, God knows what this ship would be like. Just as well we've only got one sea lawyer aboard. Rest are so thick they just do what MacLeady tells them. And one thing you can say for the blighter, he does stay within the law.
These days, anyway. You should see his discharge book. He's thumped an officer or two in his time. He even went for one bloke with a knife about 20 years ago.
Did he now?
Aye. Did time for it, too. Don't know how he managed to get a berth after that. Still, these days, and provided he's sober, he won't hit you with anything harder than Das Kapital wrapped in the Union regulations.
I wonder what the old man wanted to talk to John about. Too strong for young Peter's ears, anyhow.
Want to bet what it was?
No. It's a dead cert when you come to think about it. Wants John to sort old Smythe out. Tell him not to upset the seaman and keep his mind on his stewards. Anyway, I reckon we'll find out soon enough. Where the hell's that coffee? McEwen! Coffee! Joldy! Steward? Steward!
Look, Mr. Smythe, you do see the position you put me in, don't you? If the man had been a steward, then of course it would have been your affair entirely, but he's not.
And I'm not a simpleton, first. You know as well as I do that without MacLeady, the whole thing would never have been blown up like this. Well, I only told him to get his hair cut.
Yes, and look at the result. He told MacLeady, MacLeady goes to the captain gets on my back and I get on yours. MacLeady's laughing his head off. It's just the sort of thing he thrives on. In itself, it's nothing, but it causes friction. It gets people upset, and I don't want that in this ship.
Yeah, well, it's about time something was done about that twerp. If we had a captain who didn't spend his life in fear and trembling of a union dispute, perhaps...
I think the less said along those lines, the better, Smythe, especially to me.
All right. But you know it's true. I mean about MacLeady. He needs standing on good and hard. If it's in my department...
If it was in your department, we'd have a full-scale strike, but now we're worse. So you keep out of his way. And that's an order, Mr. Smythe.
Just as you say. If that's all, I've got a lot to do.
That's all. Oh, just before you go, there's something that does concern you.
Oh?
Chase up that young blighter MacEwen, will you? For an officer's smoke room steward, he'd make a bloody good job in Gardner.
Hey! What's all this, then?
What?
You've had your hair cut.
Yeah, I don't know you have.
Aye, and a bit time just beginning to fancy you.
Shut up, shut up, you Scots kid. We'll know about you.
O'Connor!
I thought I'd explain to you. I thought I'd told you.
Well, what have you did? You do bosun now or something? I got me hair cut because I wanted to get me hair cut.
And I told you not to get your hair cut. I told you it was a matter of principle. A matter for the union.
So what?
So what, so what? Well, I can see you don't understand at all, sonny boy, do you? And little lads like you are a menace. And you're going to have to stop being a menace, aren't you? Come here, O'Connell. Get up. And come here.
What for?
Watch out for his head, Brian, boy. Don't let him put the head on you.
I haven't done... All right. Is that what you want?
Well, here I am.
O'Connell, you must get things straight, lads. You know, your head is all muddled up. It needs a bit of a shake, don't you think?
And you think you're the bloke to do it, eh? Well, go on then. Go on, have a go. You just all talk, eh?
Well, that should do for the moment, don't you think, lads? He's not a bad kid, O'Connell, but he must learn to get things straight. Elliot, you wake him up.
Aye.
I'm going on deck for a bit.
Well, come on, Brian. Come on, lad. Are you be okay? Come on, that's it, boy. Come on. Jimmy, get some water, eh?
Right.
Aye. Oh, that man's a bloody menace. You shouldn't have tangled with him. That's it, boy. Now, come on. Sit up slowly.
Oh, my...
That's it.
It was a maze. It was a maze. Oh, Alex. I had to do it, didn't I?
No, just take it quiet, boy. That's all.
Oh, it was a maze, see? Oh, man. He told me. He told me to get it cut.
Aye, well, never mind that now. Just sit there a wee while, eh? You'll be fine. Oh, I don't know. Somebody's got to have something done about that MacReady. Aye, somebody's going to have to do something soon.
Officers, crew, all of them. Right shower. Now, who's... Oh, here we go, then. Here we go.
Hello, MacReady.
Good evening, Mr. Smythe.
You were just taking the night air, are you?
That's it, Mr. Smythe. Just taking the night air.
Have you got a light on you? I seem to have lost my matches.
Certainly, Mr. Smythe. Here you are.
Thanks. MacReady.
Yes, Mr. Smythe.
I want a word with you. Off the record, if you see what I mean.
Oh? What about Mr. Smythe?
Look, I said off the record. You can drop the Mr. Smythe business for 5 minutes.
Oh, can I? Just as you like. Finally decided to come slumming, have you, Bert?
I suppose talking to you could be called that. Look, Mike, it was a long time ago now, wasn't it, when we sailed together? Things have changed.
I haven't changed. I was an AB then, and I'm an AB now. But you're the bloody chief steward, aren't you, mate? That's what's changed. We're 4 weeks out, 4 weeks. Yeah, I was wondering when you were going to pass the time of day.
Yes, well, like I said, things have changed. I can't hobnob like in the old days now, can I? I've got my position to think of, haven't I? Besides, the captain would never stand for it.
Yeah. That's very true, he wouldn't. Well, so what's all this about, then?
All right, I'll come straight to the point. I got the surprise of my life when I joined this ship and found you on it.
Oh, did you now? And why is that, then? I am a seaman, you know, you often find them in ships.
I'd be daft, you know what I mean.
Do I?
Yes, you do. And I wondered what you'd do about it. Whether you'd bring it all up again, if you tell anyone.
What are you talking about?
You know perfectly well what I'm talking about. San Francisco, 1949.
Oh, yes. Yes, that. Yes, I thought it might be that. Yeah. But you don't have to worry about that, Albert. I've not said a word, not to anyone. I mean, it's all past, isn't it? It's all over now.
Is it? I don't think so. You've been trying to cause trouble for me ever since we sailed.
Have I? I don't think so. If I had, you would have known all about it by now, Wack. Believe you me.
Well, what about that business yesterday with young O'Connell? You can't deny that. You were behind that, all right.
Is that what's worrying you? You've got it all wrong, Albert. That was nothing personal. I just don't like officers. I just make things awkward for them whenever I can. Everybody knows that. You gave me a chance, so I took it.
I see.
Oh, do you? Good. Oh, it's funny. It's really funny, you know. You still haven't got much of a clue, Bert. You get things out of proportion. I mean, think about it. If I was one to bear grudges, you know, I mean, if I wanted to stir up that Frisco business, just think what I could do. Just think what I did at the time, eh? God, it wouldn't just be getting you wrapped over the knuckles by the mate. Did he have a word with you, by the way?
You could put it like that.
Well, well now, fancy that, eh? And fancy you thinking I was bringing it all up again, eh? You still really worried, haven't you? Never really been able to rest easy. Oh, I like that, come to think of it. I like the thought of you sitting up there in a sort of muck sweat just because you've come across me again. It's funny.
Don't flatter yourself. It's just that... Well, it's a long time since I met anyone who was on that ship, let alone you. And you know what you did. You don't forget something like that in a hurry, I can tell you.
I don't suppose you do.
No, you don't. And then finding you here and you start causing trouble all over again.
Oh, so you had to come and have it out, like, man to man, eh, did you? Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I understand that. And I'm telling you, forget it, lad. It's past as far as I'm concerned. That's not my way, dragging things out. Relax. I mean that.
Do you? I wonder. But it's just like I said. It's years since I met anyone from that trip, and... Well, it wouldn't mean anything to anyone else, would it?
Oh, probably not. Of course, you never can tell, can you? I mean, it's a small world. Meant something to poor old George, though, didn't it? Still, no point me going into all that. Forget it. Like I've done.
Yeah. Yes, I will. But I had to find out. I had to know, didn't I? God, MacReady.
Yeah?
If you'd have been there. If you'd have been there, it might not have happened. But no, you had to go and get bloody drunk off on your own. You had to...
Shut up. Now look, Smythe, drop it. I'm warning you. You say anything like that again and I'll batter you, Chief Steward, or not. Now you got it. From the smell of you, you've been on the bottle. So I'll let it go this time. But I'll tell you one thing you've made me remember. I don't like you. I don't think I ever did, really, even before. George was my mate. You just hung around with us, didn't you? Now, I think you'd better shove off now. I'm starting to remember too much, and I'm getting angry. Oh, dear, Albert, I am.
All right, if that's the way you want it. But just you remember, I am an officer now, so watch it in future.
Oh, I remember that all right, Mr. Smythe, sir. But you remember something as well. You keep out of my bloody way and off my bloody back, or else I'll fix you, and I'll fix you proper.
Will you? You just be careful yourself, Able Seaman MacReady. I've got ways. I've got ways too. Now, go on. Go on, off you go.
You are in trouble, Mr. Smythe?
Huh? Oh, hello, sir. No trouble.
You sure?
Yes, quite sure. Just something I wanted to say to MacReady. I've finished with him now. On your way, MacReady.
Yes, sir. Good night, Mr. Pyatt. Mr. Smythe.
Albert?
Yes?
You mean stirring things up with that blighter, have you?
No, of course I haven't.
Sounded to me as though you was having a row.
Yes, well, now look, Third. I know you're the bridge and all that, but do me a favour, will you? Keep this to yourself. It was just something personal, that's all. Something that had to be said, and it's been said. Okay?
Well, yes, all right. I won't report it if you think there's no need. For heaven's sake, keep out of his way.
He says he fell over.
Oh, does he? Quite a fall.
A fall called MacReady, if you ask me.
Oh, of course it was, but we'll never get O'Connell to admit it. Poor lad, he looks as though he's been under a steam hammer.
What do you think happens?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? A matter of discipline. The cock of the walk, the forecastle boss, call him what you will, asserting his authority. O'Connell got his hair cut because I told him to. MacReady probably went off at half-cock. Didn't wait to find out why. He thought O'Connell was backing down, opting out of the class struggle or something.
Do you think we'd get anything out of any of the others?
Oh, not hope. They know what had happened to anyone who split. O'Connell just got lightly done over as a warning. He doesn't seem very worried about it, I must admit. Just puzzled. I think MacReady had been quite friendly with him. As much as he ever is, anyway.
You know, that man's becoming an enigma. It's ridiculous. The voyage of the Caramu, or what MacReady did today. That's what this clip should be called. Oh, well, I'd better get up top and have a look around before I take over.
Aye, it's freshening up a bit from the surrey. Glass is falling, too. I think we're in for a bit of a blow tonight.
Well, there's plenty of sea room, and we've had an easy run so far for this time of year. Might make things a wee bit more interesting for a while. It's 9 all the time now, sir. Must be gusting well beyond that.
Yes.
How she feel, quartermaster?
She's still answering fine, sir.
Good. So she should be. It's not a hurricane. Yet. I'll keep her at this speed for a while longer than Mr. Cave. How's the glass now?
Seems to have stopped falling, but that's about all, sir.
That'll do for the moment.
Must have been blowing hard to the southward of us for days, sir. This sea didn't come from nowhere, that's for sure.
Very astute of you, Mr. Cave. But at least I can keep her head into it without altering course, which is something. We may be making only 4 knots, but we are making them in the right direction. O'Connell!
Yes, sir?
Go below through the chart room and tell my steward I want some coffee for Mr. Cave and myself straight away. And tell him I don't care what he laces it with, so long as it's whiskey. Now go on, man. Jaldy now.
Aye, aye, sir.
I'm a bit worried about the deck cargo forward, sir. It's taking a hell of a pounding. If those drums get loose, it won't be very funny at all.
Good God, man, you've had the lashings checked, haven't you?
Mr. Byatt saw to it before I took over, sir. He got the awnings off her and sent the postman round all the loose gear as soon as he saw what was happening to the glass, sir.
As he should have done.
Yes, sir, but that was well before midnight, sir. We've had about 4 hours of this since then.
Indeed we have. What have you in mind then, Mr. Cave?
Well, sir, I thought it... Oh, hello first. Too rough for you to sleep in.
Morning, sir. Morning, second. I'm worried about that deck cargo, sir. I think someone...
Mr. Cave was just about to give me the benefit of his experience on that very matter. No doubt what both of you have in mind is that I should reduce speed while a party goes down to have a look. Is that it, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. We've got lifelines rigged, but they're shipping so much I doubt if anyone will last long on that foredeck while we're plowing into it like this, sir.
Yes, indeed. Well, get the bosun in 2 hands. That should be enough. Let me know when you're ready and I'll reduce then. But for God's sake, be quick, man. I need nearly every rev I've got to stop approaching in this.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll get down there.
Hello.
Oh, it is a merry...
Captain Thomas.
What on earth's the matter, Mr. Brecken?
It's Mr. Smythe, sir. The chief steward, sir.
Get hold of yourself, Peter. What's happened to him?
He's dead, sir. Somebody's cut his throat.
You are all well aware of the reason for this meeting, gentlemen. And no doubt you've had time to think about it. Unfortunately, as is so often the case in our profession, we have had to wait until the weather allowed us to discuss the situation. At 03:20 hours, on the morning of Wednesday last, that is 4 days ago, Mr. Brecken here reported to me that the chief steward, Albert Smythe, was dead. That he had been found in his cabin with his throat cut. There is no possibility of suicide, gentlemen. It was murder. Suicides do not usually go to the trouble of slashing their face, arms, and chest, as well as their throat. The weapon, almost certainly a razor, was not found in the cabin with the body, so whoever did it was not even concerned to make it look like suicide. Now, what I intend to do is this. I have, of course, already made a signal to the New Zealand police. They will board us as soon as we enter their territorial waters. That should be 6 days from now. Whoever they arrest will be tried in New Zealand. However, I have no intention of waiting for the police. A murder in a ship has some advantages, if I may call them that. The main one is obvious. The murderer cannot escape. He is still here on board. So, as I have already told Mr. Backhouse, I intend to hold an immediate inquiry of our own. I do not think it will be difficult for us to find this man. And if we are able to hand him over to the police as soon as they come aboard, it will be better all round. The owners in particular will be pleased. Now then, let us start with you, Mr. Brecken.
Sir.
Once again, in detail, if you please, tell us what happened before you reported to me.
Well, I was off watch, sir. Normally I should have been asleep, but we were pitching so much that I could hardly stand my bunk. Well, I decided to get up and rustle up some tea or coffee or something. I went down the alleyway towards the galley, and as I was passing Mr. Smythe's cabin, I lost my footing and fell against his door. It opened, and there he was, half out of his bunk, his head on the deck, and blood everywhere, all over the bulkheads, even on the deckhead. Well, that's all, really. After that, I just belted up to the bridge and reported to you, sir.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Brecken. Well, what we have to do now is interrogate everyone on board. If this is to be a complete inquiry, then we must be thorough. We can more or less eliminate ourselves straight away, though I shall want a detailed signed statement from each of you by tomorrow forenoon, describing your actions on the night in question. Heads of departments will interrogate their own personnel and pass the reports to me. Is that clear? Well, please remember, gentlemen, but we also want to know if anyone heard or saw anyone else do anything suspicious on that night, quite apart from anything they may have been doing themselves. However, I may as well say that I already have a pretty shrewd idea where our search is going to lead. If I am right,
Then it would be a most satisfactory result. Most satisfactory. Now, any questions?
Sir?
Yes, Mr. Byatt?
Sir, not a question really, sir, but it seems to me that the main thing we're going to be looking for is motive, isn't it, sir? We're going to find someone who had a reason for wanting to kill Mr. Smythe.
That is correct, Mr. Byatt, yes.
Well, sir, I may as well say right now that a couple of days before the gale broke, sir, I overheard Mr. Smythe having a row with Abel Seaman MacCready, sir. It wasn't a matter of discipline or anything like that. I told Albert that I'd heard him, and he asked me to keep it to myself. He said it was a personal matter, sir.
Did he indeed? Did he? Well, now, that is very interesting, sir. Very interesting. Did you, by any chance, hear what they were talking about?
Not enough to make any sense of it, but it was quite clear to me that they were on the verge of blows. Well, they were threatening each other, sir.
Ah. Well, now. perhaps we're going to have this thing wrapped up even sooner than I thought. And it seems to me the conclusion is going to be satisfactory. Very satisfactory indeed.
He thinks he's Dixon of Duck Green or something.
More like Judge Jeffreys, if you ask me.
You mean he's made up his mind already?
That's about it. He's going on with the inquiry all right, but it's a farce now. He knows who he's going to arrest.
And you think he's wrong?
I don't know. I'm all in favour of trials and juries, things like that, myself. You know, 100 years ago, we'd have had MacCready swinging from the main yard by now.
Yeah, but do you think a trial's going to make much difference? I mean, he did do it, didn't he?
Ah, looks like it. I did hear him threaten Smythe, didn't I?
Yeah.
And there was definitely something rummy going on between them.
Well, whoever it was has got it coming to them. Should have seen the mess in that cabin.
Glad I didn't. Even from what I overheard, it's enough to hang a man on, isn't it?
We don't hang them anymore in New Zealand. They're the same as us. But I see what you mean. It's all a bit circumstantial, isn't it? On the other hand,
if he didn't do it, who did? Nothing come to light so far. I reckon it was him, all right. I just don't like seeing the old man gloating, that's all. It's the sort of thing he's been wanting to happen ever since MacCready joined the ship. And now...
And now it looks as though he's got him by the short and curlies, doesn't it?
Well, Mr. Blackhouse, all secure?
Sir.
Good. Very much as I expected. Ah, it's nice to have things sorted out so soon, don't you agree? Yes, very nice. I can tell you it did my heart good when young McEwen said he'd actually seen MacCready up there that night. What with that and Mr. Pyatt's evidence and the man's past record, I think we've got him this time, Mr. Blackhouse. Yes, sir. I don't mind telling you this is a very happy day for me.
Yes, sir, I can see that.
Yes, very happy.
Of course, we still don't know why did it do him.
Well, how can we if he won't tell us? Eh? Poor old Smythe certainly can't, God rest his soul, but then we're not policemen, are we, Mr. Backhouse? We're not lawyers, after all. It's up to them to sort out the details now, isn't it? We've done what we can in the meantime, and all things considered, I think we've done very well indeed. It won't take them long to have a ferret around and find out what there was between Smythe and MacCready. They'll get it out of him.
What happens now, sir?
Now? Well, since we've done all we can for the moment, now we wait. We wait until we get to Auckland. We wait for the police, and then for the trial, and then for the verdict. That's what we do. We wait. And in the meantime, of course, we carry on running an efficient ship, just as we've always done. Only now I think we'll find it a damn sight easier.
Yes, sir.
Oh, just one other thing first. I don't want anyone to talk to him or have any contact with him at all, come to think of it, until we've reached New Zealand. See the second steward and make arrangements about food for him and so on, but no one is to be left alone with our prisoner. Eh? See to that, will you?
Yes, sir, of course, sir. I thought I might have a word with him, sir, if you don't mind, with MacCready, I mean.
Did you, Mr. Backhouse? Oh, no, I don't think that would be wise, do you? You know what he's like as well as I do now, don't you? I think it's better if he's left nice and fresh for the police. We don't want to confuse the issue now, do we? Please make this apparent to the other officers, if you'll be so good. Well, I think that's all for the moment. First, let's leave it there, shall we? But no one is to see him, Mr. Backhouse. No one. What? No one at all?
That's what he said, Frank. And for once, I think he means it. He's like a cat that swallowed the cream.
But you can't do that. I mean, the man's only a suspect at the moment.
Is he?
Yes, of course he is. But there's been no trial.
On the evidence we've got, what do you think the verdict will be?
Well...
Guilty, wouldn't it? In fact, won't it? Once the coppers have dug up the background.
But that doesn't mean under British law that he can be treated at this moment as though he was a convicted criminal. He's been put in solitary confinement.
Well, if you're going to be technical, he has to be. He's the only prisoner we've got at the moment.
Oh, you know what I mean. He's being denied, what do you call them, visiting rights. Well, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But then this is a ship and it's got a master, a captain, and within reason what he says goes. It certainly does in this case.
Well, if you put it like that.
I do. It's an order and that's that.
But... Yes?
Look, Frank, you're worried about his legal rights. I'm not. He's a twerp. He's been a bloody nuisance to me for a long time. As far as I'm concerned, let him sweat for a while. It'll do the beggar good. But all legal niceties apart, if you were on the jury, even on the evidence we've got so far, what sort of verdict would you bring in? Yourself, I mean.
But I wouldn't be on the jury. I know the man.
That's one of the things I'm driving at. If you didn't, you might think differently. Anyway, what do you think?
I think he did it.
Yes?
Oh, yes, well, of course I do. Well, look at it. He's known to have had a row with Smythe. He's got a past record of violence, of attacking officers. He's the most bloody-minded sea lawyer I've come across, and the cleverest. And to cap it all, he was seen in the alleyway outside Smythe's cabin by a man who's quite neutral, who's got no axe to grind one way or the other, on the night when Smythe was killed. Well, I mean, what would you say?
I'd say he didn't do it.
What?
Look, I've told you. I don't give a damn about MacReady. I don't mind what happens to him in the meantime. The old man could have been flogged for all I care, but I do know him. I know him far better than anyone realises, including him. And that's the point. A copper, especially a foreign copper, won't know him. He'll go by the facts as he sees them. And he'll be wrong, just like you are. MacReady didn't do it.
Then who did?
God knows, but it wasn't him.
How do you know?
Because I know him. He's capable of it, I'll grant you that. I mean, he could have killed Smythe. He might have even wanted to. But he wouldn't have done it like that, and that's the point. That's the point I hope the coppers will see when they come aboard. Look, whatever you say about him, he's not stupid. You said he's the cleverest sea lawyer you've come across.
Oh, I know I did, but...
But nothing, Frank. Nobody but a madman's going to commit a murder like this one in a ship this size 9 days from the nearest port, are they?
Oh, perhaps not. But, well, perhaps he was drunk or just blood mad. You know, in a blind rage.
MacReady doesn't have blind rages. That's what's so nasty about him. If he wanted to get rid of somebody so much that he thought it was worth the risk, they'd have gone overboard. I reckon there's a nutter aboard somewhere. At least that's all I can think of till the coppers get going.
It's not very original.
I know it's not. But neither is immediately deciding it's MacReady. What I want to make sure of is that when the police do take over, they don't regard it as an open and shut case, the way everyone else is doing round here. The method's all wrong. If Smythe had been found ashore with his ribs kicked in and his jaw broken, then I'd have said straight away, get MacReady. But this... No.
What are you going to do then?
You mean I've convinced you?
Let's say, nearly.
Well, that's better than nothing. Oh, I'm not quite sure. I think I'll have a private chat with McEwen. He's the one who actually saw him, or said he did.
And then?
And then, if there's no other way round it, I'll have a little talk to the gent himself, Captain Thomas or his own not.
I see. You really are worked up about it, aren't you?
I suppose I am. But not for the reason you think.
What do you mean?
Well, the way I look at it is this. If there was still hanging, I might think differently, but as it is, I don't.
Well, that's as clear as mud.
Give us a chance, will you? Look, at the moment, MacReady's well on the way to getting locked up for life, or for a long time anyway, and that'd be nice. I don't like him very much. The world would be a better place, I reckon.
What? Even if he didn't do it?
Even if he didn't do it. There's a lot he has done he'll never be caught for. You can bank on that. Nope. No, what I mean is... I wouldn't lose a wink if he got lumbered with this business, but for one thing. If they convict MacReady, the swine that did do it's going to be laughing, isn't he? That's what worries me. What do you think on it? Now I'll go and have my chat with MacEwen. All right, MacEwen, sit down, will you?
Thank you, sir.
Will you have a cigarette?
Thank you, sir.
Light?
Thanks, sir.
Right then. Now let's have a little chat, shall we? We get much chance to talk to you, Stuart, except to yell for more beer or something, eh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought we'd try and put that right. How long have you been at sea, McEwen?
About 2 years, sir.
And why did you decide to come to sea? In the family, was it?
Well, in a manner of speaking, sir.
Now, what manner of speaking?
Well, my daddy was in the Navy.
Oh.
RN, sir, during the war.
Was he? So was my father. Where did yours serve?
Mostly in the Atlantic, sir. But he was at the Dardanelles. Gallipoli, sir. He was there.
That was the First World War, son.
Aye, sir. That was the war he was in.
Was he? How old are you?
20, sir.
Oh. Is your father still alive?
Oh, no, sir. He died, sir, when I was about 2. My mammy brought me up. She's dead now, no, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, McEwen. What did you do before you come to sea?
Oh, I was a waiter for a while, sir. That's how I got this job. And before that, I was a sort of kitchen hand and that kind of thing. You know, sir, peeling tatties and washing up and that.
I see. Do you like your job now?
Oh, yes, sir. I like it fine.
Oh, that's good. Tell me, do you like women?
Oh, aye, sir. You could say women were one of my hobbies, sir. If you know what I mean, sir.
I think I do. Thank God for that. Well, now, McEwen, you never thought of being a seaman?
Oh, aye, sir, but I'm no very big, you see, sir. And, well, I had the experience of the catering side.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, that's all very interesting. Now then, tell me, lad, off the record, as it were, what did you think of Mr. Smythe?
The chief steward, sir?
Huh?
Oh, well, he was all right, sir.
You liked him, did you?
Well, I mean, you know, sir, he was my chief and I was just me, if you follow my meaning.
You mean you didn't really know him?
That's it, sir. I only come across him in duty and discipline and things like that, sir.
You'd not met him before you joined the ship?
No, sir.
Now, how about MacReady? Do you know him?
Oh, well, sir, everybody knows MacReady, sir.
Yes. You had much to do with him, have you?
No, really, sir. Stewards and seamen, well, we kind of keep ourselves to ourselves.
But you're sure it was him you saw in the alleyway that night?
Oh, aye, sir, I know him that well, all right.
Oh, what were you doing there? You weren't on watch, were you?
I've told you all this, sir. I've told the captain, sir.
I know you have, but tell me again.
Well, it was like I said, sir. In the gale, sir. I couldn't sleep, and I was worried about the stuff in my pantry, sir, so I came up to a look.
Yes?
Well, the place was a bit of a mess, sir. Things had fell over and broken, that, sir, so I started to get it all ship-shape, and, well, I did what I could at that time of the night. Well, I'll be honest, sir.
You do that.
Well, I thought I'd just have a wee dram and a QT, so I put the light out, and...
Well?
It was then I looked out down the alleyway. You know, sir, just to see if...
Yes, I know. Get on with it, lad.
Yes, sir. Well, that's when I saw him, sir. MacReady, sir. He was coming out of Mr. Smythe's cabin, sir.
Was he? Well, you didn't say that before. You said you saw him by the door.
Well, I mean, it looked as if he was coming out, if you see what I mean, sir. I mean, he was by the door, like, sir.
I see. You'd better make up your mind, lad. You've got to go through all this in court, remember? What did he do then?
Well, he went off, sir. Down aft. And he was looking all around him, sir.
But he didn't see you?
No, sir. I tell you, I had the light out in my pantry, sir. And I was half a hint in the door, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, that seems fair enough. That'll do for now, McEwen. The sir. Police are going to be asking a lot of questions when they come aboard, so we've got to have everything ready for them, haven't we? Right then, cut along now.
Right, sir. I hope I've been some help, sir.
What? Oh, yes, 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 you have, McEwen. You have indeed.
Well, John?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, why not leave it to the coppers? If you're right, they're bound to see the same loopholes. They'll know it's not as simple as it looks.
Oh, will they? Or will they just see a way to a quick arrest?
Did you get anything out of McEwen?
Nothing we didn't know or couldn't guess already. Except some family history and a vague feeling. I'll keep that to myself for the moment. It's facts we want.
Look, what about young O'Connell? He had a grudge against Smythe, didn't he? Nobody seems to have worried about him.
I have. He was on watch, bridge lookout. With you, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I know, but I've just remembered. The old man sent him below to get us some cocoa.
When?
Just before you came up. You were worried about the deck cargo.
Oh, aye. But he wouldn't have had time then, would he? He'd only been there a couple of minutes when Peter came charging up saying Smythe was dead. Besides, you don't go round carving people up like that just because they tell you to get your hair cut. Or do you? Oh, it's something else for the coppers to worry about, I don't know. There seemed to be an awful lot of people wandering about the ship that night who should have been tucked up in bed or on watch. There was Peter who just happened to be passing and found the body.
Oh, for heaven's sake, John. You can leave him out of it, surely.
Oh, I know. But he was there. Then there's young McEwen who hadn't got any motive either, but he was there too. And now there's young O'Connell who might have had a go, but probably didn't.
And there was MacReady, who probably did.
Aye, doesn't seem any way around it, does there? But why? Oh, let's have a drink, then I'm going to turn in. I've had enough sleuthing for one day. I've got a ship to run as well.
The corpus will be aboard tomorrow anyway. Then maybe you'll relax.
Maybe. But there's one more thing I can do before I give up.
What's that?
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to see MacCready and the Elwoody old man. Steward! Two beers. Each.
John, don't be daft. Let it rest now. The man's not worth it. He's just not worth it.
Hello, MacCready. Well, well, well. It isn't me old friend, Mr. Backhouse. And to what do I owe this honour?
They tell me you're not worth the bother, MacCready. What do you think?
They're very probably right, whoever they are. Right, what you on about, Mr. Backhouse?
Nothing. I just thought it was time we had a chat. Police boat will be alongside in about 4 hours. They know all the details by radio, of course, but they're bound to want to go over it all again. I thought we might get a few things straight first. Do you feel like talking?
Look, I've told you, haven't I? I'm not saying nothing until they give me a lawyer. And he'll be a good one too, mark my words. I got a few mates even in New Zealand and they know the way around.
Oh, yes, of course. The party's everywhere, isn't it? Well, I'm glad about that. You're going to need mates.
Now, wait, look. What is this? If you just come here to gloat,
no,
then...
No, I haven't. I'll tell you why I've come here.
Oh, thank God for
I've come because I'm the only one in this ship that's prepared to give you the benefit of the doubt.
You what?
You heard me. I don't think you did it.
Oh, what's going on around here? What the hell does it matter to you whether I did it or not? You're getting rid of me, aren't you? That's what you want. I mean, you're not going to stand there and tell me you like having me aboard,
are you? Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to... I don't think I'm ever likely to do that.
Well, thank God for that. I was beginning to think I was a failure as well as the scum of the earth. Well, what is it then, eh? Do you fancy me or something?
I don't give a damn about you. If you dropped dead now, I'd laugh. But look at it from my point of view. If you don't open up now and tell me exactly what happened that night, it's odds on that you're going to be locked up for a long time, a long way from home. I'm trying to stop that happening. There's nothing personal in it. It's nothing to do with you. I just don't want the bastard that did do it to get away with it. If they lock you up, he's going to be laughing, isn't he? Now, look. Get on an officer, and you're the great white hope of the revolution, and look at it like that. Look at it like that and talk sense.
Yeah, I think you mean it. I really think you mean it. All right then, Mr. Backhouse. What do you want to know?
Did you do it?
No. No, as a matter of fact, I didn't. But the trouble is, I haven't got a clue who did. That's one of the reasons I've kept my mouth shut, see? I had to have a think first. But whoever it was, made a horrible mess of him, didn't they, eh?
Yes, they did. But how do you know? How do you know what he looked like? You don't mean you...
Yes, I do. I saw him after. Oh, yes, I was there all right. I even went into his cabin after he was dead.
Why?
Look. Look, you better sit down. This is going to take a while. Now I've started, I better tell you the lot. Better tell you all about old Smythe and all that. Now, you got a fag then, have you?
Yes. Here you are.
Sir. Right then. Here we go. Well, it...
Mr. Backhouse, what is going on?
Well, sir, I
gave specific orders that no one was to speak to this man until the police were aboard. And you, the first officer, have chosen to ignore those orders. Well, we'll have to do something about that, Mr. Backhouse. Oh, yes, we will indeed.
Have you seen them?
Yes. Very big, aren't they?
They are.
And not exactly brimming with humour, would you say?
I would.
And how about intelligence?
Don't know about that yet. Lots of what they call experience, though, don't you think?
Yes, I do. That's what worries me. The young one didn't look too bad. A bit keen, perhaps. Definitely brighter than his boss, though.
Perhaps. But we mustn't go on first appearances, young Peter. We might be right.
Horrible thought. Oh, well, someone's in for a hard time, that's for sure.
Come on, let's have a jar while there's some left.
Right.
I need it, just for a change.
What additional evidence?
Well, first thing they did, apparently, was check the crew list. No motive this trip, it seems, so who in this ship had sailed with Smythe before? Had anybody got a record? And they'd come up with a beauty.
What?
Well, it all makes sense of what young Harry Pyatt overheard. You know that row between Smythe and MacCready?
Yes.
Hey, you wouldn't believe it, would you? The only man in the ship that had sailed with Smythe before was MacCready. About 1949, I think they said, on the American run. You know, the Atlantic and round the coast.
Yes.
Well, apparently in California, San Francisco to be exact, two British seamen were arrested for rape. Got drunk and had a go at this girl. She was a tart, but the Yanks are very hot on that sort of thing. She said it was rape, so it was rape. Rape and kidnapping. And in 1949, that was a capital charge in California.
What happened?
One of them was found guilty. He went to the gas chamber. The other one turned state's evidence and got off scot-free. He sold his mate up the river, so it seems. And his name was Albert Smythe.
I see. Well, who was the other bloke?
Young fellow called Nesbitt. George Nesbitt, Scotchman. Now, there should have been three of them. Those two were part of a terrible trio. Great mates. Inseparable. In everything together. You know the sort?
Who was the other one?
A Liverpool Irishman called MacReady. Michael MacReady. Our MacReady.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. That's what I said. Trust MacReady. He had a cast-iron alibi. For once, he'd gone off on his own. He was already in jail, drunk and disorderly.
And they think that after all this time...
Oh, there's more yet. The coppers have been in touch with the captain of the ship they were on. After Smythe came back aboard, MacReady thumped the living daylights out of him, put him in the sick bay, and organised the whole crew against him. Sent him to Coventry and that.
Well, that's that, isn't it?
That's enough for them, apparently. If he gets a good lawyer, there might still be a few holes in it. That's what MacReady was going to tell me when the old man came rushing in, wetting his pants, damn him. I might have found out in time to get something organised.
You mean you still think he didn't do it? You still think there's somebody else?
I'm bloody sure there is now. MacReady waited that long, you've got to be joking. If he wanted to have done Smythe, he'd have done him then. Oh, he'd get more fun out of making life hell for him. It's safer, too.
Oh, but that's only guessing. With everything else that is against him, he's a dead duck now, John. They've got a motive. That's all they needed.
Maybe. But I'm not the only one that's not satisfied. I've got half the police force on my side, young D.C. Cargill. I've had a chat with him. Right, lad, that should go far. He's making one or two little inquiries of his own. On my behalf, as it were. When I heard that story, something clicked. Something that's been bothering me for a long time. You wait and see, second. This isn't finished yet. Not by a long stroke. You wait and see.
Mr. Backhouse?
Oh, Constable Cargill, come in. Well?
Yes.
You mean?
Yes, you are right. There is a connection, a very strong one, and I think we've got him.
What does Senior Sergeant Boyd say?
Oh, I haven't told him yet. He's going to be ropeable.
Do you want to tell him?
Well, not quite yet. I want to try something first. Well, you bet me up.
All the way, lad. My old man's not going to exactly fall on my neck either, except with a chopper. What do you want me to do?
Well, look, this is what I thought. Most of it's up to you, really.
Okay. Come in.
Your dear, sir.
Oh, yes, thanks to you. Put it down here, will you?
Thanks, sir.
Pour them, will you?
Yes, sir. There are three, sir.
Ah, that's right, lad. One for me, one for Mr. Cargill here, and one for you.
For me, sir?
Yes, one for you, Nesbitt.
What?
Watch him! Watch the razor!
I've got him. Drop it, boy. Drop it. That's it. Now sit down.
Will you tell me what to...
Sit down.
Okay, John. Now put him on. That's better. Now then, McEwen or Nesbitt or whatever your name is, let's have another little talk, shall we? There are all sorts of things we want to know. And you're going to tell us. Aren't you?
Well, there they go. Can't say I'm sorry to see the last of them. Mm-hmm. Any of them.
Seemed like he was enjoying it. He's not normal, is he?
That's what his lawyers will say. You can bank on that. Can't say I'd ever noticed much wrong with him myself. Never thought he was very bright, but that's about it.
He must be a nutter. To do a thing like that and calmly go on serving coffee and beer and trying to help everyone who asked him anything about it. The moment they accuse him of it, he breaks down and makes a full confession. And if he's not balmy, then I am. I just don't understand it.
Well, we'll see what comes out at the trial. Makes you go cold all over, doesn't it?
Hmm? What do you mean?
Think about it. If it wasn't for John getting a bee in his bonnet, they'd have made a pretty good case against MacReady. We'd have sailed off happily into the sunset and that little swine's still aboard.
Yes. Thing is, we probably would have been safe enough. He just seems to have had this one twist. I wish I knew what put John onto him in the first place.
I'll tell you. Later. Now that we can stop playing coppers, perhaps we can get back to being seamen again. We're moving into a proper berth on the tide. There's going to be press everywhere, so I want this ship to be a credit. How about you two old women still in your gab and doing something about it? Come on, let's get it alongside. And I'm going to get very drunk. And you both be welcome to join me.
Well now, Mr. Backhouse, let me put it like this. Can we
Can we let bygones be bygones? You were right, and I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Things could have been a lot worse.
Well, the main thing is they're not, sir, so, cheers, sir.
Cheers first. Now, for heaven's sake, will you tell me how you found out why McEwen, what on earth, put you onto him?
Well, luck, really, sir. I had another talk to him after we'd interviewed him together, you see, sir. He told me a lot about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in a world of his own half the time. It didn't ring true that he'd get up in the middle of a gale to tidy up his pantry.
Uh-huh.
But I let that go because he admitted having a sly dram out of one of our bottles. It was nothing specific, sir. It was just a general feeling there had to be somebody else.
I see.
But it wasn't until the police came up with that tale about MacReady and Smythe in the States that I could see any reason for anyone wanting to kill Smythe. But once again, MacReady didn't fit. He'd never have waited 20 years. So what if there was somebody else aboard who was connected with that business? I mean, half the crew are Scots, and the man who went to the chair in Frisco was a Glaswegian.
Uh-huh.
Was there a pal, or more important, a relative? And in particular, what about MacEwen, do you see, sir?
Oh, yes, I do indeed, Mr. Backhouse.
Well, go on. There wasn't time to check them all, at least not unofficially. So I took a chance and persuaded D.C. Cargill to dig up MacEwen's background. And that's what did it. He didn't seem to have one. Nothing at all before he came to see. So Cargill did the routine thing and found that he changed his name by deed poll just before he joined his first ship. He changed it to MacEwen from Nesbitt. And Nesbitt was the name of the chap that was executed in America in 1949. They were brothers. Never met each other, but they were brothers. The young one was born the year the other died. So we tried it on.
And it worked. The boy is mentally disturbed, isn't he?
Probably is, sir, but only about this one thing. I mean, of course, the life he'd led in the Gorbals doesn't actually produce perfectly adjusted types, but it seems as though he'd been weaned on the idea of getting the bloke that had done for Brother George. Now he's more or less happy. I mean, he went for a razor when I called him Nesbitt, but almost straight away after that he relaxed. Wanted to talk about it. Seemed very proud of the whole thing.
But didn't he know about MacReady, that he'd been a great friend of his brother's?
Well, apparently not. That's the daft thing, that they all ended up in the same ship again. He's got a poetic justice in a twisted sort of way.
Exactly who is benefiting from the justice, I'm not quite sure, except perhaps MacReady. And that brings us to another point. Have you seen him? Have you talked to him?
Oh, only the once, sir. I told him that MacEwen had been charged and that he was more or less in the clear.
What did he say?
Well, he said, thank you very much for all your help, but I know you didn't do it for me, so don't expect me to be grateful, or words to that effect. Typical.
Yes.
So, if the police are satisfied, it rather looks as if we're stuck with him.
Oh, no, not quite. I have some resources first, some resources. I have been in touch with the company, you see, and they have suggested, I may go so far as to say they have agreed, that in this eventuality, he is to leave the ship.
What?
Yes, that is what they have agreed. I mean, after all, after what he's been through, there is a case for what might broadly be called compassionate leave, eh? Hey, Mr. Backhouse, and MacReady is to be flown home rapidly, Mr. Backhouse, rapidly.
Flown home? Me? What for, Mr. Backhouse?
I should have thought it'd be obvious.
Well, I beg your pardon, sir, but, I don't understand.
Don't you? Well, that's what's going to happen whether you understand or not. You better get your dunnage together.
Ah, just a minute, sir, just a minute. I don't want to get home. I'm quite happy here.
Are you?
Yes, sir. And besides, I signed on for the round trip. I can't leave the ship. I can't leave you in the lurch like that.
MacReady, you are going home. It has been arranged, the company have agreed, the captain has decided, and I'm telling you, get it? You need a rest. And you are going to have a rest.
But I don't want a rest. I've got a job to do. What are you going to get an AB with my experience, eh?
As far as I'm concerned, MacReady, I never again want an AB with your experience. The job you have to do can be done in some other ship. No, I think that's all I have to say to you. There'll be a taxi waiting on the dock in 30 minutes. There will be an aircraft leaving Mangere Airport 2 hours after that, and you'll be on it. You'll be home for Christmas, lad. Think about that. After all you've been through, it should be very nice for you. Think of Lime Street on a wet day. All right then, MacReady, on your way, lad, on your way.
Yeah. I've got no choice, have I?
That's it, lad. For once, you've got no choice. It's a blooming maelstrom, lad. A blooming maelstrom, and you're right in the middle of it.
You've been listening to Henry Stamper as MacReady, Patrick Towle as John Backhouse, and John Sampson as Frank Cave in MacReady's Maelstrom. Pyatt was played by Roger Gale, Captain Thomas, Alan Downer, Peter Brecken, Derek Seaton, O'Connell, Ronald Forfar, Albert Smythe, Wilfred Carter, McEwen, Michael Deacon, and Able Seaman Elliot, Richard Griffiths. The play was written and produced by Roger Pine.